The Old Testament lesson is from the prophet Isaiah, the 30th chapter. Thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and in trust shall be your strength. But you were unwilling, and you said, no, we will flee upon horses. Therefore you shall flee away. And we will ride upon swift steeds. Therefore your pursuers shall be swift. 1,000 shall flee at the threat of one, and at the threat of 5 you shall flee, till you are left like a flagstaff on the top of a mountain, like a signal on a hill. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is according to Paul's letter to the Romans, the 8th chapter. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are to be regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are much more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter. Jesus said, stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning. And be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at the table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for tonight's message comes from Isaiah chapter 63 that I'll read in a couple of minutes. Our calendar that we have, January to December, comes from the ancient Romans. Like February, March, May come from the name of Roman gods. July, which is a great month to be born, was named after Julius Caesar. That's the month I was born, if you didn't get that one. All right, August comes from his successor, Caesar Augustus. And September, October, November, and December come from the Latin words for 7, 8, 9, and 10. Now, January comes from a Latin word for the god Janus, which was a god that looked both ways at the same time. And the word, the Latin word, has the idea of looking through a window where you can see both directions, or a door where you can see both directions at the same time. So it's a perfect month, or perfect name for the month of January, because it's a month that we look backwards to the previous year and forward to the new year, where we've been, where we're going. Now, the text for tonight's message is from the end of the book of Isaiah. And Isaiah has been describing the various changes that the Messiah would make, the effect, and also the effect of those who listen to this Messiah. So from Isaiah chapter 63, verses 7 to 13, I will tell of the kindness of the Lord, the deeds for which he is to be praised, according to all the Lord has done for us. Yes, the many good things he has done for the house of Israel, according to his compassion and many kindnesses. He said, surely they are my people, sons who will not be false to me. And so he became their savior. In all their distress, he too was distressed, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and mercy, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. Now, if we were Baptists, we'd all yell out, amen, because it means, let it be so. For God has truly been kind to us. That passage I read sort of reminds us of all the grace God has shown us in 2019 and all the grace that he's going to show us in 2020. And I'm going to save all the tacky jokes about eyesight in 2020. But the passage reminds us again of all the grace he's shown us in 19 and that he will show us in 20. You know, we don't have to look that far back into 2019 to see God's grace. For less than a week ago or so, we celebrated Christmas, where the Christ child came into the world to live the life we couldn't live. That's the best example of love and kindness, that God Almighty would become human, live the perfect life according to the law, to every part of the law perfectly, and then offer himself up as a sacrifice. So if we want to look back at God's grace in 19, we only have to go a week ago when we celebrated his birth. We also had 52 Sundays to celebrate his grace and his mercy. I think I made all but one of them. We move a little further back in the calendar in 2019 to my absolutely favorite holiday of the year, and that being Easter. There's nothing more than I love than getting up on Easter morning that very first time and yelling out, he is risen, because the answer is,
he is risen.
That's the core of the gospel message. That is my salvation. That is what gives me joy. I love Easter. Okay, Christmas is fine. I got it. You know, we make our arguments. But Easter to me, when you announce he is risen indeed, hallelujah, that is a completion of our salvation. Excuse me. Feels like I've been preaching all day. This past year, we've had an opportunity to read his word, where we learned of his grace, his mercy, his holiness, his justice. Throughout this past year, we have received communion, where we received in a physical form the absolute assurance that our forgiveness had been paid for. So this past year in 2019, we can be thankful for the word and the sacraments. In the text I read from Isaiah 63, he talks about all the good things that God had done for the people in the past. And he's implying when God led them up out of the land of Egypt, where he brought them to the good land and defeated their enemies, where they had many miracles that took place, and where God blessed their crops. And all this was done out of God's love and compassion. And he still does great things for us today. This past year, we can look at all the blessings that we have. We can just get down into the basics that we have shelter, food, clothing, family, and friends. Ultimately, if you have those, say, four or five things, you have all that you need for a good life. I know I said it before, but I always appreciated my grandfather's perspective on life. He said life consisted of a good sandwich, a good book, and a Diet Coke. If you had those three things, you had a good life. The day he died, do you know what was sitting next to his chair? A half-eaten good sandwich, a good book, which, by the way, I still have to this day, and sandwich, book, and Coke. See, that's all you need for the, quote, good life. Now, yes, we've had troubles. We've had troubles in 2019. We all have in whatever degree or to each person individually. So you might argue, where's the blessings? Where's God been in all of that? Well, that's Satan's little temptation where he sits on the shoulder and says, really, God promised to bless you? Yeah, where was he? Well, if you read Isaiah from the beginning, back in chapter 1 to 63, Isaiah could have fallen into that temptation very easily because he's talking about the fall of Judah. Judah had gone through a lot, but Isaiah always focused on the blessings that God had given Judah. That was the end of Isaiah, where he says, in spite of all this happened in the past, God is still with us. Man's perspective is we want to look at the bad things. God is concerned about us. In verse 9, and the angel of his presence saved them. Do you have any idea if this past year, how close you came to, quote, disaster, but yet were spared it? And you go, no, I don't know. Very well may have been an angel who stopped it. Had you been 5 seconds later to an intersection, had you been 2 seconds later to making a turn, what could have happened? See, a lot of times God protects us in ways that we don't even know. Verse 9 concludes, in his love and mercy he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. God had always been there. Throughout their history, God had been there blessing them and protecting them. Back in Isaiah 46, verses 3 and 4, he says, I have upheld since you were conceived and have carried you since your birth. Even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you and I will carry you. I will sustain you and I will rescue you. Think about that. I have upheld you since you were conceived and carried you since birth. From our very conception, God was concerned about us. Sorry, if you want a good pro-life verse, it's Isaiah 46, verse 3. From conception, God cared about us. Not only through our birth, but to that point where somehow or another, my hairs are turning white. Now, how is that happening? Jim's going, I wish I had hairs that could turn white. I had to, Jim. You always tease yourself in Bible study about being bald. I know God only made a few perfect heads. The rest he covered with hair. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We've heard it. All right. But with this coming year, we also look forward to God's continuing protection. So why the bad? Why does the bad always seem to come with the good? Well, it's when we suffer. A lot of times it draws us closer to God. Do you ever notice when things are going really well, you don't pray quite as often? I have that tendency. It's when things are bad. When people aren't well, that's when I pray more often. When things are good, I have a tendency to kind of forget whose guiding hand is over me. Bad times draw us closer to Him. Let me tell you about a baby giraffe. Do you know what the first thing a mother giraffe does when her baby is born and hits the ground? She kicks it. She gives it a good hoof. This stirs the little creature to get up on its feet. You know what the next thing mama does? Knocks it down. Because mama wants it to understand how to get back up again. Now, you might think that's terribly cruel, but there's a whole lot of lions and hyenas and jackals and other creatures that would love to eat baby giraffes because supposedly they're pretty tasty and they don't taste like chicken. So mama needs that giraffe to get on its feet right away so that nobody preys on it. And if it falls down, it's got to know how it got back up again. So what's mama giraffe doing? She's preparing the baby for life. Sometimes God knocks us down. Why? Because when the devil comes, we need to be strong in the face of his attacks and make stronger Christians out of us. And looking forward, we look forward to God's grace in 2020. You know, we have a great advantage when it comes to that. In 2020, we're looking forward to God's grace and forgiveness and His mercy. And you're going to have, and y'all are going to watch the ball fall later, right? Okay. For those of us still awake, you're going to have the yahoos who say, oh, in 2020, I just look forward to everything being good and family and friends and blah, blah, blah. Sappy, yappy trash. All right? Christians have the greatest advantage, seriously, because we're looking forward to God's grace and mercy in another year. In spite of the fact we're going to fall drastically short of His expectations, He still forgives us. 2020, we're looking forward to the anticipation of more forgiveness and more grace. Another 52 Sundays to worship. Many opportunities to go to Bible study and hear His Word. And in 2020, we will baptize infants into God's kingdom. That is one of the happiest moments in my life when I take that baby up and down the aisle to introduce a new member. Not just because I love babies, but this is a new member in the kingdom of God. But also in 2020, there's going to be a few of us who aren't here. But that's also part of what life is. And it's not they're not with us, they are with the Lord. So why do many look at 2020 with such trepidation? Yes, maybe it's the economy, maybe it's the election, maybe it's health issues, maybe it's family. But so what if something bad happens? God is still with us. Have any of you ever seen that movie? Oh, goodness, brain, do not do this to me. Susan, what's those two movies where they're trying to prove that God is real? God is not dead. Thank you. How many of you have seen God is Not Dead? All right, if you haven't seen it, you got to watch it. Because there's a African minister who comes, and no matter what happens, he always says, it doesn't matter, God is still good. And of course, every time he says that, it's right after something big, disastrous has happened, like their car doesn't work, they can't get to the airport on time, you know, blah, blah, blah. But he always says, it's okay, God is still good. So how do you plan for 2020? Well, you always got to look at the book of James for answers. James chapter 4, verses 13 to 15 says, now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. Only with God's grace do we go forward in the 2020. Only with His grace. We got all these great plans, what we're going to do, what we're going to do, what we're going to do, but it's all by God's grace. We got a confidence as we go forward because our faith is continually fed by the Word of God and the sacraments that we receive. God takes care of us physically. So as you ring in the new year, you know what? Celebrate God's grace. Grace that moves us to look back with appreciation and grace that allows us to look forward with anticipation. So may the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen. And please rise and we continue with confessing our faith according to the Nicene Creed.